I'm sure that each of us have some questions that have gone through our mind at some point in time that you go, if I knew the answer to that. Ken has a lot of those. Are you still wondering if there's a monster under your bed? Connie chased it out, huh?
Tell me for sure.
You know, we have, as kids, that's a very real question, isn't it? You know, as young people, we might go, if I ask that girl out, will she say yes? And us guys are petrified about that typically. And I understand that the women kind of go, man, I wish that he would ask me out. We go, what career should we pursue as young people as well? Later on, we ask, is this the person that I should marry? Should I accept that job offer? And then there's a lot of folks that are going, I wonder what next week's lottery numbers are going to be. And sometimes we tell ourselves, if I only knew, things would be much different. And sometimes if we only knew, things would be better. Or sometimes if we only knew, we would not have done something that turned out horribly bad if we had only knew. If we knew the cost of our actions, how many of us would have ran up that credit card debt? How many of us would have said those foolish and hot-headed things that seemed just the right thing to say at that moment? And I know that there are two people in this world that wish they had only known before they drank too much and killed two of my friends. If we only knew. But throughout history, God reaches out to us. This passage talks about making known the mystery of His will. It talks about God's purposes, about God's plan, about what God has destined. And if we can know God's will, if we know God's purposes, what a foundation. If we only would know these things, imagine what our life and what our faith would be. For us throughout history, God reaches out to His creation so that we can know. To know His glory and His grace, to know His love, to know the consequences of sin in this world and the next. To know the path that Jesus describes as life and life abundant. God sent the prophets so that we might know. They had two primary messages. One was to love the Lord your God only and to love Him rightly. To love your neighbor and particularly people that are in need. And that we are to treat them as we are to treat it ourselves. Jesus said, you know, if you know these things, you know the foundation of all of the law and all of the prophets. Why? Because this is the way to the fullness of life. This is the way living within God's plan, God's destiny, the mystery of His will. It is a life for which we are created. The life to which God calls us. The life that God makes possible in Jesus Christ. But throughout history, we got kind of a track record of doing our own thing. Even when we knew, right? God said, don't eat from that tree. But Eve succumbed to the temptation to be like God and to know the difference between good and evil. Cain, knowing better, killed Abel because Abel had received a blessing he hadn't. Humankind builds a tower to ascend that they might live in the dwelling place of God themselves. Herod the Great killed a multitude of male babies in an attempt to protect his throne. Throughout the ages, humanity collects possessions and power, believing that it is the path to fulfillment, the path towards what we want and what we actually need. But it is in the midst of what is truly a cacophony of cries and demands, of things that are calling for our attention. There have been people who have measured how many advertisements we hear and see a day. And it's innumerable, all calling us to a different way and to a different purpose. But it is in the midst of this loud world that the gospel speaks, that Jesus was born, that the Word was made flesh. And God speaks most clearly in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, that Word that was made flesh, that dwelt among us, a light that shone in the dark, a light that the darkness did not overcome. And Jesus does something very different. He lives an amazingly different and radical type of life. Because he was the one who didn't consider equality with God as something he should exploit for himself, did he? But he emptied himself and humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death. That death on the cross was part of Jesus' purpose. Thanks be to God. But who would choose that path for ourselves? He laid down his life for the sake of others. He was raised from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And he cometh again. Jesus preaches a warning that we're going in the wrong direction. There's keep out signs all over. And Jesus says, if you only knew. And he reveals to us in parables. He reveals to us as he taught. And he particularly reveals to us in the way that he lived the kingdom of God, where God's purposes and God's will rules. Jesus preaches that we're going in the wrong direction. In the Sermon on the Mount, he proclaims, blessed are the poor and the meek, not the proud and the rich. He warns that in the kingdom of God, many that are first will end up being last. And in that same kingdom, many of those that the world considers at the very last will be at the first. He teaches his followers that unless they become little children, they will never enter the kingdom of God. When the world around us says, be sophisticated and mature, ultimately, the one who spoke into creation is the one who pays the price for creation's sin. Jesus revealed to us in his life, his teaching, his death, and his resurrection the answer to what we need to know. Jesus invites us and makes it possible for us to follow in his footsteps. And that is a different direction than those billboards, those TV ads, and radio spots would call for us to go, isn't it? Now, a little dating of ourselves here. How many of you have seen the movie The Matrix? Okay. In 1999, the movie The Matrix came out. And in there, Neo, the actor Keanu Reeves, is shown the disturbing truth that everything he thought about life was an illusion. That even though he thought he was free, even though he experienced life and freedom, it was an illusion. And in truth, it was nothing more than a giant computer simulation. And he and the other humans were nothing more than energy sources. And as he was shown evidence of this, his world begins to be turned upside down and inside out. What he had once assumed was true was not. It was just an illusion. And once he knew, everything became much different. So why does God, throughout Scripture, keep reminding us that His way is different. That the way to what Jesus describes as Himself, the way, the truth, and the life, a different path. Because humankind, for the most part, doesn't get it. And apart from God's work in our lives, neither do we. Because apart from Jesus, apart from God's Word, we're likely to miss the point. Because we ignore, miss God's purposes, the very thing that we seek after, the very thing that we think, if only I could, I'd be happy. They turn up empty. How many times have you ever scored a touchdown playing chess? Have you ever hit a home run playing golf? I know Frank and Rebecca and the Richies are golfers. No? How about fold a no-hitter, John? Doesn't work. Because it's missing the object of the game. We don't pursue a home run playing golf because it doesn't make any sense in the game of golf, does it? Because if we try to, we're missing the objective of the game. We're ignoring the tools that we are given and the course on which we are to play. We walk on land and we swim in the water, not the other way around. In chess, it's a checkmate. In baseball, it's a score, a run. In soccer, a goal. The question is, do we really understand the true meaning and purpose of life? Or are we working towards something that ultimately makes no sense and missed the point? What if we only knew? God, the prophets, Jesus, Scripture, and here in the book of Ephesians, God begins to pull back the shrouds to reveal something in the midst of our illusion, to shine truth in the midst of our disillusionment, to give us hope when everything we have tried fails us. God's great plan for our good is laid out for us, redeeming us from our debt, bestowing upon us an inheritance, and freeing us to live for Him. That in Jesus, God lavishes upon you and upon me great gifts, great opportunities, things we would never have on our own. As it says in verse 9 of the passage that Alexander read, God has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His great pleasure that He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. And in verse 12, so that we who were the first put our hope on Christ might live for the praise of His glory. This passage speaks about God's plans from before the foundations of the earth to the end of the heaven and earth as we now know it, and a new creation. It speaks of God's plan between the unknowables, when creation was spoken into being, through and past the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. And within that, God's purposes existed. God's purposes flow like a mighty stream and a current despite whatever humanity may do. Everything is swept up and carried along by its power. No one can resist it. But even then, here we are, swimming against the current, trying to do our own thing, declaring that, hey, we're in charge. And we begin to tell God where the water ought to flow. We spend a lot more time telling God what we want, don't we, than listening and asking, God, what do you want? What if we only knew? What will we do once we get a glimpse of God's plan, of the kingdom of God? What will we do once we get a peek at what is actual value and what will last? Even Jesus says Set your hearts on the things above, not the things below. Because down below, moths eat those clothes, rust destroys those cars, and thieves steal everything else. What will we do once we know? Will we close our eyes and hope it all goes away? Or will we open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds and lives to God's power and to God's will? Will we say, God, have it your way, even as Jesus did in the garden? Not my will, but thy will be done. Going back to the Matrix, Neo is given a choice. After being told what he once thought of as reality was an illusion, and seeing some evidence of the truth that of what he was told, he is offered a choice between a red pill and a blue pill. If he took the blue pill, he'd go back to the way things had always been. But if he took the red pill, he can enter into the real world. And all its struggle and all its difficulty. But he could make a difference in it. Keanu Reeves takes the red pill. You can see him. That's a great shot in the movie as you see the glass through Lawrence Fishburne's glasses. He takes the red pill, and it's painful at first, and he nearly dies. But his ties with the illusion in which he had been living are forever severed. And he's literally born anew into a new reality, into a new existence. Apostle Paul writes, if anyone is in Christ, they are a better creation, a new creation. The old things are gone. Behold, all things are become new. That is the difference between God's plan and ours, between the lordship of Jesus Christ and just going through the motions of faith. Jesus' call to follow is not a call to a better life, but to a distinctly different life. It is to leave behind the human assumptions in order to enter into God's purposes and the reality and of His plan. A life that is fundamentally different than the understanding of the world around us and our purposes in it. You know, last week I put forth the proposition that as Christians, we ought to be a little confusing to the world. Because our values are going to be different. Our purposes are different. We're going to do different sorts of things than the world will even see as possible. Showed you that video from Dylann Roof's bond hearing where the families and loved ones of those that were murdered offered forgiveness in the midst of their great loss. And so many in the world scratched their heads. But those people knew a different vision. They had seen part of the mystery of God's will to gather up all things in Christ. And they did what we would otherwise consider impossible. They did what we would otherwise think unreasonable. And they just demonstrated grace and love for this young man who had committed such evil and taken so much from them. If we're following Jesus, if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, our lives will be as out of sync with the world around us as Jesus was from His. That Jesus laid down His life for a ransom for many. That Jesus took the bowl and washed His disciples' feet. That Jesus touched the lepers. That He went to find the outcast. That Jesus hung around the sinners. That Jesus demonstrated love to those that the religious people had cast out. What will you do if you only knew? Because God's purposes are found in His great love. And Jesus, God reaches out to His beloved passage, as it says in today's passage. He destined us for adoption as His children. Think about that for a few minutes. He redeems us from our sins. He makes known to us the mysteries of His will to gather up all things in Him. And that in the gift of salvation, we are marked with the promise of His Holy Spirit. In a couple minutes from now, let me grab a donut and a cup of coffee and head out back to life as it's always been. Or will you? Will you choose to enter into a world that God created with an amazing purpose, to gather up all things in Christ? Will you enter into a world that God so loved that He gave His only Son? Will you enter into a world where you will dare to pray for those who persecute you, to give to everyone who asks, to forgive others as you expect to be forgiven by God? That you will not only pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that you will participate in that, and that His will be done in your life, even as you ask for it to be done through you. It's a strange and sometimes terrifying reality when Jesus' enigmatic words come to life, that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Take up your cross and follow Me. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And unless you become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of God. What would you choose if only you knew?